Open your Bible with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. It says in, while you're turning there, it says in Romans 15 that whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So the purpose of reading through the scriptures together, exploring the stories, the things that were written in the former days, so that we might leave here with more hope. God is not just a God of history, of ancient days. He's living, and he's with us now. That was one of the great promises that Jesus made. He said that when we gather together like this, just like this, that he would be with us by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. God meets with us when we gather in this way. He inhabits our praises when we're singing songs about his goodness and his faithfulness. And so when we're reading through these stories, God speaks to us. He instructs us. He encourages us that we might leave here with greater hope. We're not just reciting religious rote. We're meeting with our God so that we might have more hope. Are you guys with me? All right, let's read this story. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 1. We're going to read quite a bit. So here we go. Naaman, or Naaman, I think is how it's really pronounced. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. That's a lot of cash. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Let's stop there. Lord, help us as we consider these words, this story, these characters, this healing that was done to Naaman through the hands of Elisha. Lord, would you be our teacher now? In Jesus' name, amen. Quite a bit happening there. Let me see if I can't just do a quick summary to help us. So Naaman, sort of our key character, he's a mighty man of valor, a successful military man who actually was leading the army of Syria under the command of the king of Syria quite successfully. This guy was... he was strong, he was valiant, but he had a debilitating skin condition, leprosy, which could end up killing you. And in the ancient culture, it wasn't just a physical disability. It would have been sort of seen as a mark of great shame. You would have been considered, quote unquote, unclean. So it was an interesting mixture of circumstances. Apparently, during one of their raids, they wouldn't, at this point, Syria wouldn't have been at war with Syria, but apparently, at some point along the way, they ended up kidnapping a little girl from Israel that they made their household servant. But you get the impression they must have treated the little girl well, because when she found out that her master had leprosy, she said, look, there is a prophet, there's a man of God in Israel who could heal you if you go to him. And so he says, okay. He goes to the king of Syria, his boss, as it were, and he says, apparently there's a man of God in Israel who has the power to cure people like me. Would you write a letter and send me? So he does. The letter arrives. Naturally, he sends the letter to the king of Israel, king to king. Only at this stage in the story of God's people in the history of Israel, this is not a great king. This particular king of Israel who receives the letter, he takes it as like an offense, as if the king of Syria is taunting him. Like, why would you send me the letter? What am I going to do? Am I God? Do I have the power to heal? And so offended, he tears his robe. As like a sign of disgust. Somehow, the man of God himself, the prophet Elisha, finds out. Word gets around. And he sends word to the king of Israel saying, why are you tearing your robe? Why are you tripping? Send the guy to me. I'll prove to him that there is a God in Israel who sees all and can heal his skin condition. Sure enough, he goes. And when he gets to the house of Elisha, instead of Elisha coming out, sort of giving him a royal greeting and sort of acknowledging his greatness and all this kind of thing, he sends out a servant and he simply gives him the message. He's like, great, yeah, my God can absolutely heal you. Just go down to the Jordan, dip yourself in the river 7 times and you'll be made clean. And Naaman is offended. He's like, what gives? You clearly don't know how important I am. What, you just send a servant out to me? I'd expected you to come and greet me face to face, show me some honor. And so he ends up refusing to follow the instructions and leaves enraged. Naaman's servants come to him and they appeal to him, Father. They call him Father. Obviously, they love their master. Father, is it that big of a deal? I mean, what really did he ask you to do? Just go to the river and dip 7 times? Like, that's not that great of an ask, is it? Fair enough. So he goes, he dips himself in the river, which is kind of a muddy river. He's slightly offended, like, aren't the rivers in my home nation better than this Jordan? But he goes, dips himself 7 times, and we're told that he's healed. And that his skin becomes like that of a child. He goes back to Elisha. He's obviously had a major change of heart. And he's like, look, please take the money, take the gift, take the change of clothes. I realize now that there's truly only one God in all the world, and he resides in Israel. Please take the gift. And of course, Elisha, he says, no, this is not about money. I didn't give you the instructions for a payoff. Take your money and go. Now, there's actually more to the story. Maybe we'll come back to it. But that's the gist of it for now. And he leaves a healed man. No matter how strong you are, we all need healing. This is one of my favorite parts of this this story, this ancient story, kind of a random story. It starts out with Naaman, this mighty man, military leader, has fought and won wars. And yet even the strong man needs healing. And not just any kind of healing, the kind of healing that would have been very much attached with deep, deep shame. He was unclean. No matter how mighty you are, no matter how smart you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter who you are, we all need healing. Amen. And here's the good part. God desires to heal you. It's his MO. God desires to heal us. Why? I mean, this begs the great question. Why does a God who is so powerful, so awesome, so lacking nothing, care so deeply for us? Why does God love me? You ever wonder? Some of you might be like, well, I know why God loves me. I mean, just look at me. I'm lovable. Okay. Some of us may not feel quite so lovable on some days. And yet God loves us deeply. And because of his great love, God desires to heal us. Let me read to you a verse. This is a famous verse also from the Old Testament, out of the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. It says this: if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. God desires to heal his people, us as individuals, and even the land itself. God's concerned with people. God desires to heal us. However, the way that God heals us rarely aligns with my expectations, and the depth to which God heals us usually far surpasses what I think I need done. The way God heals us is rarely the way I expect it, and the depth to which God heals us is far beyond what I think I need. Or in other words, God doesn't really just do surface stuff. He never stops at the skin level. The way God heals Naaman, the way God heals you. So, I mean, anyone in here have a healing story? Have you ever experienced like healing from God? Sammy, hello, Sammy. Hello, Jake. Yeah, I have healing. Sometimes it's like the obvious, quote-unquote, spectacular kind of healing, something to do with your body. In this case, like, it's pretty obvious. Dude had a debilitating skin condition, could have ended in death, and God healed him. washed away the disease such that he now had like the skin as smooth as a baby's bottom. I think that's the Hebrew. Sometimes we envision God healing us a particular way. And if you're anything like me, usually that way is, it's fairly practical. Like I kind of know what God needs to do and how it should be done. And so when I pray and ask for healing, I'm kind of expecting for God to do that. And that's kind of Naaman's story. He had a particular idea in mind. He thought that the man of God, Elisha, would come out and do a greeting and wave his hand over his skin. I like that, kind of, ooh, like, be healed. Ha! And then he would go home and something like that. And, of course, that's not anything like what he was instructed to do. Elisha said, he didn't even go out. He just said, since a servant, go to the river. Dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. Of course, 7 is a significant number. It's the number that it's basically said, this is going to be a divine healing. This is, I want you to do it in this way so that you'll know that it's God healing you. It has nothing to do with the magic hands, nothing to do with the water. The water in the Jordan River is like pretty gross, actually. I've been in the Jordan River. Nothing special. Naaman was envisioning some kind of a spectacular moment. Instead, he gets the servant of some guy named Elisha who simply gives him instructions to follow. And so initially, he leaves enraged. He refuses. This is ridiculous. Why would I do that? You've wasted my time. I wonder how often we miss or refuse God's healing because God's method of healing doesn't align with our expectations. It's a fair question. I'm lonely. God, would you heal me? I'm addicted. I'm strung out on porn. God, would you heal me? My marriage has been on life support for the last 7 years. Lord, would you heal me? Lord, it feels like I'm living in the wrong body. I didn't ask for this. I don't want to go on living this way. Lord, would you heal me? God, I have cancer. I've already asked 100 people, and I'm still sick. I'm scared. I don't want to die, Lord. Would you please heal me? We could go on and on. Lord, I'm lonely. Would you heal me? Go to church, join a small group, show up every week for the next 7 years. Yeah, right, like that's gonna work. It's stupid. I'm not doing that. I'm addicted to pornography. Lord, would you heal me? Get rid of your smartphone. Join 423. Show up every week and practice radical confession for the next 7 months. Well, that's time consuming. Get rid of my smartphone? Come on. That's insane. How would anyone ever function in a world without a smartphone? My marriage has been on life support for the last 7 years. Lord, would you heal me? Find a counselor, commit to showing up for at least the next 7 months, and start praying and fasting, inviting my spirit into your personal brokenness for the next 70 years, or until death do you part. I just wanted someone to like wave hands over my marriage. This one's kind of risky. I don't mean to be trite at all. It feels like I'm living in the wrong body. I didn't ask for this, and I don't want to go on living this way. Lord, would you heal me? What if God said something like this? Your body is a gift. It's the hiding, the shame, and the fear that's ripping you apart. I want to begin pouring my love into your heart. I want to begin filling your innermost being, and I want to use the hands of some of my most humble and gentle sons and daughters. And it might take 70 years. Lord, I have cancer. I've already asked hundreds of people to pray for me. I'm still sick. I'm scared. I don't want to die. Lord, would you heal me? What if God said something like, yes, yes. Now, my child, it's time to come home. I have a new body waiting for you. Come and be close to me. You have fought the good fight. Now come home. God desires to heal broken people. The way God heals virtually always involves some kind of process of simple, humble trust. And when he does heal us, it's virtually never, ever a surface job. The way God heals us is rarely aligns with the way I expected him to do it. And the depth to which God heals me usually is far beyond what I had even asked for. And when God does heal us, it's a demonstration of his love. You know, every healing in this life is really just a foretaste of the true healing that is to come. I believe in healing. Call me charismatic. I got saved in a Pentecostal church. Everyone prayed in tongues and laid hands on each other. And I love it. I still pray in tongues. And occasionally when I can muster the courage, I'm like, dude, can I pray for you? And I lay hands on people. Because I believe that God is still in the business of healing. And I also know from experience that it's a very windy road. It's rarely as straightforward as just like it's like there's this process. And somehow along the way, one might realize that, oh, this is what God is wanting to do goes way, way deeper than my skin condition. And it's involving some kind of wonderful, difficult journey of trust. It's like God is after my heart. And in that sense, you know, our bodies, we're talking about healing, talking about leprosy, you know, our bodies are actually one of the best reminders that we were created in the image of God and that we were destined for a future reality that waits for us. Our decaying bodies remind us that there is still a permanent healing, a perfect healing, a redemption that is to come. Therefore, even when we enjoy foretastes of healing or first fruits of God's goodness, we do well to remember that we are sojourners in the land. We are on our way home. Romans 8, verses 22 and 23 say this, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies."
Which brings us back to point number one, the way God heals us. It's rarely the way we expected, and the depth to which God heals us rarely ever stops at skin level. God healed Naaman's skin disease, but something about the whole encounter caused the healing to penetrate to his heart. In verse 15, we're told that after Naaman was healed, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is a God in all the earth. So accept now my present from your servant." There was something about the process that when Naaman was finally healed, it didn't just affect his skin. It actually penetrated to his heart. He went from the man who was offended for not being treated as the valiant warrior, the man of strength that he was, to, "Please humbly receive my gift. I am your servant." He was a different man. The depth to which God heals us always transcends the surface level. And that's not to marginalize like the healing I long for. Some of you, I know for a fact, because I know you, and we're a small church, and we're kind of a family like that. Like, I'm very aware. I have to make sure, like, not to make eye contact with, like, half of you, because I'm like, I know your pain. I know what you're going through. I know that you have prayed and prayed and prayed. And please don't hear me for one second. Don't think I'm saying that God hasn't healed you yet because you're being arrogant like Naaman, or you're refusing God's process, and therefore God is refusing to touch your body. No. But what I hear God saying from this story, that as God responds to our cry for healing, whether it's physical or otherwise, God invites us to go on a journey that somehow along the way helps us to not just get healing on skin level, but to actually experience healing in the depths of our heart. And that's what God is after. And that's really, really good news. God doesn't do surface level. Amen or oh my. Naaman, the mighty man of valor, great in the sight of his master, the king of Syria, too great to follow the simple directions given to him by some random servant of a so-called man of God, was now returning to that same man, but this time with a very different attitude. God didn't just heal his skin, he touched his heart. This is what Jesus does. He's always healing his way deeper into the human heart. In fact, if we walk with Jesus through the Gospels, if we join him in the story, what we find is that Jesus would consistently meet someone who had a need, who needed healing, and he would oftentimes heal them. But it was never just about like the body. It was never just about like that the immediate need. It would then like turn into something else. Like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna heal you, and I'm also gonna forgive your sins. Oh yeah, I'll heal your leprosy, and also I'm gonna go deep, deep, deep into that pit of shame and begin to pull you up out of the mire. Yeah, I'll touch your body. I'll restore your physical body for a time. For a time. Because our bodies will still decay. But what I really want to do is actually teach you to receive love and experience a new identity, and to know that you are a beloved child of God. And even if your body does break down again, that will never, ever break down. You are loved." Amen. Jesus is healing his way deeper into the human heart. I prayed a prayer one time. I know it's something like this. Lord, heal my marriage. Lord, I remember praying this prayer. And I remember it so vividly because it felt very righteous, very, very spiritual. Like this is a good prayer. Lord, teach me to love Shirley. Amen. He answered my prayer. He has been answering my prayer. Lord, teach me to love Shirley. And the Lord began teaching me how to take up my cross. The Lord began teaching me how to find joy in my trials. The Lord began teaching me how to find purpose in serving. The Lord began teaching me how to love my wife the way Jesus loves me. Sacrificial love. The Lord began teaching me that the problem with my marriage wasn't Shirley or even marriage myself. My marriage was a gift. It was my misaligned expectations, my own selfishness, my own childhood issues, which were finally rising to the surface that were ripping us apart. And so the Lord began teaching me how to receive love from him in a new and profound manner so that I might have love to share with my wife and others. And God has been answering my prayer. Talk about a windy road. The Lord desires to heal us, but the way he heals us rarely aligns with how I think it should be done, and the depth to which he heals us goes way, way beyond the skin condition or the surface level. Jesus is always healing his way to the heart. He takes us on a journey. We realize, oh, the skin condition, yeah, that was painful. Really, really grateful for that. But then I quickly realized, like, that was like a pretty minor issue in the grand scheme of eternity, life. Jesus is healing his way to the heart, wanting to teach us how to receive his love. So that even when our bodies begin to decay, or it's time to go home, we can find joy, even in the midst of what feels just like crushing trials, difficult things. Jesus is healing his way into our hearts. You might be in here thinking like, okay, yeah, that's cool. I like that. I still need healing. Still need healing. You might be in here thinking like, well, that is nice. That's a nice thought. I love that. That's powerful. But I'm actually super healthy. My body's strong. My relationships are good. I'm not perfect, but like I am blessed. Amen. I have one encouragement for you. If currently you're just in a season of like, dude, I'm so good. I'm just blessed. I'm healthy. I'm whole. Here's my encouragement. You know who? Who's the hero of the story? Who's the hero of the story? Jesus. Okay. Not a trick question. God is the healer, ultimately. And I love the way the story is told because Elisha, he seems to want to go out of his way to make sure that this man from Syria knows that, like, look, this is not about the magic hands guy. Okay, this is, I want you to leave knowing that there is a God in Israel who's alive and well, who is in the business of healing broken bodies. So it's not Elisha. It's God. Who's the human hero in the story? The little girl? Who said that? Nailed it. I would even go a little bit further. It's the servants. There's a very clear thread throughout the story. It's the servants. The unnamed servants, starting with the little girl, going to her mistress, saying, hey, you know, there's a God in where I come from. You know, when you guys kidnapped me, really appreciate you being so kind to me. But, like, you know, when you kidnapped me, Tell my master to go to Israel. My God will heal you. There's a man there who walks with God. It's the servant girl. And then when Naaman leaves in a rage because he's all offended because he wasn't treated with, you know, the royal respect that he required, it was his servants who came to him. They're like, Father, he didn't really ask you all that much. We've come all this way. Just, you should just do it. And they humbly appeal to their master. And I think there's something there for us as well. There's a lot of people in our world, there's people in this room who need healing, who said secret prayers asking for healing. And sometimes we can kind of get a bit twisted, or we can miss it, or we can get sidetracked. And then God will bring one of his servants along. Be like, hey, come on, let me walk with you. So Simon said, if you come down to this rug, we'll pray for you, and maybe God will heal you. No, I'm not going to do that. Let me walk with you. Maybe you don't have the courage. Maybe you feel like, look, I don't even know if God exists. And then God will send one of his servants along. Come on, let's go. Let's do it. I get it. And then God includes us. We get to be like the servants who come alongside people who maybe are too scared to follow the instructions, who maybe are too prideful, who maybe are just, it doesn't really matter what the reason is. They need someone to come alongside them and take them by the hand, be like, come on, let's walk together. We can be those servants. Are you guys with me? Can we stand together, please?